Connecticut of all places. I've never been to Connecticut. I'm so, Katie and I are so grateful and humbled to be able to be here to speak to you guys at the Northeast Conference Retreat, whatever we got going on up here. It is exciting to be up here. We got off the plane yesterday. We live in Virginia Beach.
Okay.
It's nice. There's beach in the name of it.
Yeah.
It's pretty sweet. We heard it was going to be 50 degrees up here, so we packed for Virginia 50. Connecticut 50 is a little colder. I almost got right back on that plane. I'm like, nope. It is cold up here. Again, we're so grateful, so humbled and honored to be able to speak to you guys. I just love to be able to worship God. And I love that song, Men Who Dream. If you don't get fired up after Men Who Dream, you better check your pulse because something is wrong. I'll be honest, I had some butterflies going right before we sang that song. They're all gone now. You guys ready to hear me preach and stuff?
Yeah.
You ready to hear the word of
God? Yeah.
Amen. Get your Bibles because it's time to open up your Bibles. Go over to 2 Peter. Now we're going to see what happens because we've got all kinds of technology going on up here.
Okay.
And I have no idea if any of it's going to work.
Come on.
So pray for the techno demons. All right, let's get this up.
Come on, Matt.
I want to start off with a question. The title of my lesson is Look Forward. We're going to go forward. I want you to come with me.
Come on.
Let's go forward for a second. I want to take you to a day that is forward in your future.
Let's see if the technology is working. Oh, come on. Here we go.
I'm going to take you to a day in your future. Imagine with me your funeral day. That's right. That's how we start this thing off. Yeah. We're not joking around here. We're playing here.
Right.
This is forward, not backward. Come on.
Right.
One day in the future, there will be a funeral for you. Your body will be in a casket. You'll be surrounded by hopefully family, friends, hopefully disciples, people wanting to pay their respects at the end of your life. Somebody's going to get up. Somebody's going to clear their throats. And they're going to take a deep breath. And they're going to begin to summarize your life. What do you want them to say? Honestly, think about that question for a second. The end of your life, what do you want people to say about you at the end of it? Because how you answer that question will determine how you live your life every day from today until that day. Are you with me on that?
Come on, Matt.
I'm asking you, what are you looking forward to?
All right.
How you live your life from this moment to that one. And the things that you are going after, the things that you are looking to do, the things that you're looking to accomplish at the end of your life, someone will be able to say, this is what you did. That will determine your life. What are you looking forward to?
Amen.
Well, 2 Peter, hopefully you're there. Because I'm not.
Come on, Matt.
There we go. In 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 10, it says this, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. And since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. This day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Maybe you're sitting here thinking, Matt, stop encouraging me so much. Keep bringing on the fire. What on earth? I thought we were talking about heaven. I thought we were supposed to be built up. What is this forward thing? You're going to melt me up in the first 5 minutes. What is encouraging about this? Well, part of this is that we've got, in order to look forward to heaven, we've got to understand, we've got to look through what we can't look forward to.
Yeah.
Now, part of what God is trying to tell us and communicate to us is the same thing that the Joker and the Dark Knight was trying to communicate to us, is that everything is going to burn. Every dollar that's ever been printed will burn.
Yeah.
Every jewel that's ever been fashioned will burn. Every diploma that's ever been signed. Some of y'all are grateful for that. All your student loans will be burned. That's someday. You gotta pay that. You gotta study for a platform. Just wanna make sure that's clear. Every building that's ever been constructed will burn. Everything is going to burn. What on earth is there to look forward to about that? Well, it's because one day what God's going to do is he's going to burn everything, and then he's going to replace everything with stuff that won't and cannot ever be destroyed. He's going to blow it all up. So that all that's left is stuff that you can trust completely. That is awesome. The question is that what you're looking forward to? Is that really what you're looking forward to? What is it in your life, in your future, that you are truly looking forward to? I guess what I'm really asking is, what do you value? Seriously, we sit down as we think, every single one of you, all 600 of you here, walked in here with hopefully a hope and a dream. Maybe a plan, maybe some of you fewer than a plan, more like an inclination. Some of us in here are hoping to have a hope and are planning to have a plan. But at the end of your life, you've got some kind of rough, kind of, maybe it's a sketchy, sort of blurry outline of what you think is going to be a successful life. We need to ask ourselves this. We're going to look forward to things that are truly valuable. And the things that you're looking forward to right now, are they as valuable as you think? Turn over to Matthew chapter 6.
Come on, Matt.
You guys still with me?
Yeah.
Okay. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. I like to read the words of Jesus.
It's a pretty cool dude.
Jesus talks to us about the true value of treasure. He says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, in red letters, he says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Jesus communicates to us that the true treasure, the things that are really worth looking forward to and not looking past, are the things that don't lose their worth. The things that don't decrease in value. You know, it's funny. We don't always think that way. It doesn't always feel like that. Like the most valuable things. You're like, man, heaven is great. I mean, heaven is awesome. Sure, I'm sure it's great. But, you know, it's a little bit hard to grab hold. It's a little bit harder to sort of wrap my mind around that. Anybody else with me on that?
Yeah.
But it's interesting. Then we go and we say, well, that's a little bit harder to wrap my mind around, but so then I'll go to things that I can easily access. Like, you know, it's hard to access treasure in heaven, but I know the value of $100.
Yeah.
I know the value of a good job.
Yeah.
But it's funny how we get with our treasure sometimes. It's funny how we get when it comes to actually being able to value things. When I was a kid, I remember there was a time when the only thing that I ever wanted was a trophy. Just a trophy. The sports I played, baseball and soccer. And I remember the leagues that I would play in, at the end of the season, they didn't give you trophies. They gave you a certificate. What is that? At the end, you put your blood, your sweat, your tears, and granted, I was like 8 and 9 and 10. But at the end of that season, all my little 8-year-old tears, they should culminate in a trophy, is what I thought. I deserve a trophy. And what I got is something that some mom printed out on her, computer at home 10 minutes before the pizza party. Get that out of here. I remember I was 11 years old, and this was the best season of soccer I'd ever played. In fact, this is crazy because they do the little awards thing for the team, and at the end I realized I hadn't gotten my certificate yet. And they started announcing, what the award was that I had won. Because you know how every kid gets an award nowadays, no matter what you do. Well, so anyway, but they saved me to the end. And they're describing me, they're like, this guy, he carried us this season. We jumped on his back and he led us to our victories, all three of them. He's like, this is very clearly our most valuable player. And they call my name, Matt Fisk, come on up here. And I make my way up and I'm like, surely I have earned a trophy. I get up there, and this was a trophy that was not a trophy. This was a certificate that it wasn't even printed. Somebody had filled it out with Sharpie. I took it, I shook his hand, I got in the car, and I cried. I was like, I just won a trophy, Mom! I remember we moved, and the place that I went to, they got trophies. And I remember at the end of the season, I got the lamest award. I got the coach's award. That's like one step above participation. And I got a trophy. This thing shined in the sunlight like one of the ancient monuments. This would have been the eighth wonder of the world had I let it out of my sight for 2 seconds. I brought it home, I put it on my bookshelf, and I remember doing this. I sat down in my little 11-year-old bedroom, and I just looked at my trophy. I just stared at it. Look, I have arrived. Things are looking up. This is totally my year. Life goes on. You play more sports. You stop playing sports. You get trophies. I got more trophies. Then I go off to college. I live my life. I graduate from college, and it's really funny. This past year, my dad sent me a text message. He's like, hey, Matt, I'm excited. When you come home, I got something to show you. I'm like, okay, cool. I come home. He brings me down to the basement, and he shows me this. This is a clear Tupperware bin of all of my trophies that I won. Rotting in a basement. I didn't even want to open it up because I didn't want to show you how nerdy I was and some of the trophies I won. But there it is, 15 years later, doing nothing but collecting dust. And I was brought back to that one day where I just stared at this thing. I'm like, this was my whole life was about this stupid trophy. How worthless. But here's the thing, I treasured worthless things. At one point, they were my everything. Can you imagine if the rest of my life had revolved around the trophies that I had won? Now, so we throw a football in that man, sir. Are you valuing things of value? That's my question. Are you valuing things of true value? Seriously, if you were to think about your life right now, the stuff that you value, the stuff that you are living for, is that something that will be taken away the moment your heart stops beating? We got to ask ourselves, are we truly valuing the things of value? And as I thought about this, looking forward to heaven, I was like, how do I get us excited about heaven? I could do a lot of teaching. I've literally done full lessons on just what heaven will be. There are books, entire books, 400 pages long of what heaven is going to be like. But I have one thing that I want to fire you up about heaven. We want to look forward to, you know, the one thing that we're looking forward to in all eternity, the one thing that maybe you can wrap your mind around, is that we are looking forward to Jesus. Let's go to Revelation chapter 21. Does that fire you up? You think you can wrap your heart around that one? Good. I was hoping. In Revelation 21, that's at the end. You just go to the back and you get there. In Revelation 21, starting in verse 1, it says, I want you to try to picture this for a second. This is really cool. Just take a second. I don't know how many times you've read this, but just try to imagine this. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea, for the Jewish people, sea equaled fear. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And he who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And then he said, write this down, because this stuff is good. These words are trustworthy and true. We can stop there. In heaven, we will dwell with God, and he will dwell with us. Here's the truth. Nothing that you know, nothing that you understand, nothing that you've experienced, it will not be the same, because the old order of things is passing away. And the new will be coming. You are straight up. You're not going to have to wrestle and fight to be close to God. You're not going to wonder and stress about, oh, I don't know what God's will is here. It's going to be like, hey, God, what's up? What should I do? That. Okay, that. Thank you. Everything is going to be awesome. Why? Because Jesus will be there. I want to dispel something just for a second. I saw this Far Side cartoon. Maybe you've seen this. It's this dude in heaven wearing a robe with a harp and a halo sitting on a cloud, and he's bored out of his mind, and his little thought bubble says, dang, wish I bought a magazine. Heaven will not be boring. Do you guys know you're going to rule over angels in heaven? You got a job to do in heaven. It says that you will govern angels. We're going to eat food in heaven. Come on. And you will gain no weight. In heaven, even our vegan brothers and sisters will be able to enjoy bacon without any guilt. But here's the thing, it's not awesome because there's going to be bacon. It's going to be awesome because Jesus will be there every second of every minute of every hour of every day. Everything that was valuable on earth will dull in a flicker. be spectacularly dull. Think of the most amazing place you've ever been in your life. Whether it's the beach or the mountains with that little cool breeze with a nice little drink in your hand and the little, like, umbrella up in there, and you have no worries and no cares, and if you're at the beach, you're not going to worry about sand getting everywhere. But think of that best spot you've ever been to. Now combine that with the most peace you've ever felt in your life. Put those two together, the best place and the most peace. That is a ghetto compared to heaven. If I had a mic, I'd pop it right now. That's how it's going to be forever. Why? Because Jesus will be there. And you know something really, really cool? We get a little tiny taste of this on earth. The kingdom of heaven is here. One small snippet. And you know what I'm talking about? You know that moment when you walk into Devo after a really hard week and all of a sudden everything is as it should be? You get a little free sample of that here on earth when you're with the body of Christ. It's not the full thing. You got to go back to the world. You still got your sinful nature to deal with, but you get a little free sample. And the reason that this is so awesome, even this right here, how awesome is this?
Yeah.
Wow. Because it's kind of like a little bit of restoration of a fallen world. Jesus making things as they should be. Because everything that we're going to do here this weekend will have Jesus as Lord stamped right on. Amen. You can clap for that. Jesus is awesome. Here's the thing. Let's talk about us again for a second. Let's talk about our treasure and our value. Everybody is trying to restore or bring things to the way that they should be. In the world at large, we're treasuring things. We're like, you know what? If we solve racism, then everything will be as it should be. If we solve poverty, everything will be as it should be. If we elect the right person, everything will be as it... I can't even finish that sentence. Some of us, if we save the planet, things will be as they should be. On a personal level, if you have the right GPA, things will be as they should be. If you get that right internship, things will be as they should be. If you date the right person, things will be as they should be. And for some of us, if I feel happy, things will be as they should be. Let me make something clear. I just want you, if you're going to get one thing from tonight, whether or not you're a disciple or if you're here visiting with us and studying the Bible, here, right here for a second. Right here. I'm talking to you. Nothing will be as it should be unless Jesus is who he should be in your life. Nothing can be made what it was supposed to be without stamping Jesus is Lord on it. And I understand why this is tough.
Oops, not that one. Go back one, please. There we go. Not that one. We're going to get there. Technology, yeah.
Man, it's because we got pressure coming at us from every side. Man, you got professors telling you, you got to get this internship, you got to make this connection. You need to value your future. And if you don't do those things, you don't value your future. Your parents say you need to make this much money, take this job, get this grade. That's how you value your future. Your friends might tell you, you need to date that guy or that girl. You need to do this or do that or hang out here or listen to this music or whatever it might be. And that's how you value your future. That's how you value your now. Maybe it's the here and now that you value. Even you're feeling pressure from yourself. Will I be happy? Will I be successful? That's how I look forward to my future. And when you have all this pressure choking the life out of you, it is hard to focus on Jesus, isn't it?
Yeah.
So maybe you're asking a question, Matt.
This is good stuff. I've heard it since I was a kid.
What if I'm still having a hard time getting excited about heaven? Maybe you've been there. I know, I definitely have. What do I do? You know what's really crazy? We think about this backwards. We think that we really value heaven when we feel like we value heaven. Jesus actually says the opposite. Matthew 6, he says, "For where your treasure is, there your hearts will be also." Read that again. "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." We think that our hearts will dictate our treasure. When Jesus actually goes, hey, it's actually your treasure that dictates your heart. Brothers, who've ever played a March Madness pool, you know what I'm talking about. If you fill out your brackets, maybe anybody that's filled out brackets, and you put no money down on anything, you don't care who wins or loses. You're like, okay, it might be nice. But the second you put even a dollar down, all of a sudden you're rooting for South Central Louisiana State University to come through in the second round because you've invested something. If you're having a hard time getting excited about heaven, really, maybe the question is, have you put any treasure there? Have you made any investments? Instead of waiting for our hearts to feel like I need to make an investment, why don't you make an investment and watch your heart follow? So I thought I'd tell you a few stories about some awesome people that have done just that. This is Phil and Iona Booker. I've known them for a long time. Phil was my first camp counselor when I was 9 years old, but I still wanted to win trophies. His wife, Iona, went to Northwestern University. And then she went and got a law degree from the University of Virginia. That's a big deal. She wanted to be a senator. Then straight up after talking to her, I probably would have voted for her. Both of them decided, okay, you know what, instead of pursuing our jobs, for him, he actually was an engineer. He actually got hired, and then he went to his first day of work and said, I'm quitting to join the ministry. And for her, she actually was a lawyer for a little bit, and she said, no, I'm going to go and follow this guy that I'm dating, and then they got married, and she went into the ministry. I want to show you something. They just moved from Hampton Roads, Virginia, to Montgomery County, Maryland. I was helping them move. And as I was going around their garage, I saw something that caught my eye. I don't know if you can see it, but in the midst of all of these boxes in the garage, I find this. That is her law degree from the University of Virginia, trapped in between two boxes that I found. I pick this thing up, I bring it into the house, I go, Iona, do you want this? And she goes, oh, that's where that is. I'm like, it's not even in a frame or anything. Do you want this? She goes, what am I using it for? What? And I asked her, why do you do that? She's like, because I'm living for the kingdom. I'm here to make disciples. I'm not done. This is Ed and Deb Anton. They're amazing. They lead the Hampton Roads Church and the ACR Families and Churches, and Ed is the chairman of the Teachers Committee, and he's on the board of Hope Worldwide, and a bajillion other things, and I don't even know what else he does. But this is how they started their lives. Ed actually went to UPenn and went and graduated from the Wharton School of Business. And then, in his early 30s, he had been promoted through Coca-Cola to be a regional director of marketing in charge of the South. He was friends with Bernie Madoff. Oh yeah, like that was the kind of level of high-powered people he was hanging out with. Ed became a Christian. Man, he gave up all of that. I asked him about, like, why on earth did you do that? He goes, are you kidding? That was such a dumb job. I have the best job in the entire world. I get to save souls for all eternity instead of selling people sugary water. Deb Anton, also went to the University of Virginia to become a doctor. When she took the MCATs, she had the highest MCAT score, not in her school, in the country. You know where this is going, don't you? She becomes a doctor. She works a little bit as a doctor. And you know what she does now? She's in the full-time ministry leading thousands of people. Helping train hundreds of women to help thousands of people become Christians. Ask her, she would rather do anything else. These are not slouch people. They are looking forward to an eternity. Why would I do anything else? Maybe you're thinking, maybe I'd like a younger example. Oh, I've got him. This is my boy, JC. JC is about 5'7". He's not usually making this face. JC is a very smart guy. JC graduated from Old Dominion University with pretty much a 4.0, wanting to be a doctor. And I'm like, hey, JC, they actually need someone to go lead a ministry out in Roanoke. Any interest in leading the Radford University ministry? Instead of going to med school? And he goes, if it's for the kingdom, I got it. Heavenly perspective. You know what's crazy? God blesses the snot out of this 5'7" guy. He is so fired up. And when he baptizes people, I think he's already baptized 2 or 3, maybe even 4 since he's been there. He's only been there a couple months. They always end up looking like this. I'm like, how does this guy do it? They all are like these guys, you know, bring up people to Bible talk. I'm like, what, you, okay, whatever, God did. Let me show you one more that I am so fired up about. You want one more that's recent?
Yeah.
This happens on Wednesday. The guy in the middle to my right, no, to my left, your right, his name is Lydell. Lydell got baptized on Wednesday. Lydell is from Richmond. And when I say Richmond, I mean not like, you know, it's not the suburbs. He is from a rough, rough part of inner city Richmond. And Lydell is actually so inspiring that the paper wrote an article about him while he was still in high school as a study in resilience. They said he's very bright, committed, as you can see. He's an example of resilience, and those are some of the values that we're teaching our students and preparing them to be for their school and everything. But Lydell is incredibly motivated, and when we were counting the costs, and I asked him, how do you feel about Jesus being in charge of your future? He said, yeah, I don't think they're really, they're not at odds. He's looking at me across this table and he goes, here's what I want to do. I want to build a legacy. No, a dynasty. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to graduate from Old Dominion University and I'm going to do it with a 4.0. I'm already, you know, done my freshman year, I've got 4.0 right now. And then I'm going to graduate, I'm going to go to med school, do my internship, my residency, and then I'm going to go back to Richmond and I am going to build something that helps kids from the inner city get out like I got out. I'm going to bring healthcare to these kids. I'm going to bring opportunities and education and all this stuff. And I want my name to be synonymous with saving people. And I look at him, and what? First off, that's awesome. And then I go, this is one of the hardest things I've had to do. I say, if you do that, and that's all you do, you will not save a single person. And then I tell him. And he looks at me, he's kind of angry. I'm about to see Richmond come out right here. He's got this kid from Fairfax, Virginia. And he looks at me and he goes, why is that? And I go, because everything you just said will stop benefiting those people the second their hearts stop beating. If you want to save them, you got to save their souls. Don't save them for their lives, save them for their eternity. And he looks at me. Points his finger aggressively. And he goes, that is what I've been looking for. Shit. And I'm like, why? Why do these people do this? Why are people making really dumb worldly decisions? Like, they're like, oh my God, they would never do that. Why would you give up a Coca-Cola job and the number one MCATs in the country and this law degree and that medical degree and all this and your legacy and your dynasty? Why would you do this? For one reason and for one reason only. I'm going to show you a clip right now from the movie Risen. I hope to show you a clip from the movie Risen. It's a Roman soldier hanging out with the disciples and Jesus. That's why we do this. Because Jesus heals. Because Jesus is our everything. Jesus is everything we need from now until eternity. We do it because he healed us. And he needs to heal everyone. Brothers and sisters, we live in a dark, dark world. People are dying. Not just because they don't have bread, or medicine, or education. It's because they don't know Jesus. And that's the only thing that will save them. Other treasures will alleviate the symptoms, but only Jesus will save people, and only Jesus will save us. And when the people who know Jesus don't invest in Jesus and the kingdom, the world gets darker. My final challenge to all of you, I think, is look forward. Look forward to heaven. Look forward to Jesus. And make an eternal investment. Take your treasure out of the world and put it in Jesus. Some of us may be involved in clubs, in sports, in music, academics. Some of us are super gamers. It may mean dropping a few hours from work so that you can be with the body of Christ. Because Jesus is more important.
Come on.
It may mean readjusting your entire career path to go and serve God and his kingdom. Because Jesus is more important. For some of us in here, it may mean studying the Bible or continuing to study the Bible. And to give up that one thing. You know that one thing that you know that Jesus is like, you need to cut that out. It might be that thing. In fact, it's not probably, it is that thing. But anything else that we do is going to fade with time. We need to make eternal investments because they're the only ones that last. And so, we come back and finish where we started. Thinking back to your funeral. For the ones that have treasure on earth, the best thing that can be said is, well, it was good while they were here. But for the ones that have eternal kingdom investments, it will be said, because of Jesus, it only gets better from here. Never give up your life for something that death can take away. Let's look forward to heaven. Let's make eternal investments, and let's look forward to Jesus. Amen.